This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we look at some key issues that affect UK students, the UK campus, and the Lexington community. Campus Voices is created by Journalism 304 students with the help of the journalism faculty. Please send any questions to news at wrfl.fm.
Good evening and welcome to Campus Voices, a program where we take a look at what's going on in the Lexington and UK campus communities. I'm your host, Maggie Davis, and today we are discussing the youth vaping epidemic of the Juul. That's an e-cigarette that resembles a USB flash drive. The part of the Juul that contains nicotine is called a pod. Each pod contains as much nicotine as an entire pack of cigarettes. Juul's founders originally created the device in hopes of weaning adult smokers off of cigarettes. However, adults are not the demographic the company now attracts. According to BigCitiesHealth.org, about one-fifth of middle and high school students have seen someone else using a Juul in their school building. Big City Health also reports the mixture of nicotine salts Juul's founders have created has been clinically proven to be more harmful to those who have never consumed nicotine before. According to a study by the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine, e-cigarettes are safer than conventional cigarettes for individual smokers, but their public health consequences and long-term health effects are still unknown. The study also concluded that e-cigarette usage increases the likelihood that young people will smoke cigarettes as adults. WRFL reporter Ali Venata reports on the facts about Juuls and how quickly they have become popular.
Juul Labs became their own company in the summer of 2017. At the beginning of 2017, British American Tobacco led the U.S. e-cigarette market in sales, but by December of 2017, Juul Labs took the greatest share by selling 16.2 million Juul devices that year. According to Nielsen data, as of September 8, 2018, Juul Labs controls 72% of the e-cigarette market in the United States. 72 is a big number considering there are five major e-cigarette manufacturers, which include Juul, that make up more than 97% of the e-cigarette market in the U.S. According to the National Youth Tobacco Survey, 12% of high school students and 3% of middle school students, which is more than 2 million youth, were actively using e-cigarettes in 2017. Juuls are different from other e-cigarettes because of what's inside them. Most other e-cigarettes contain freebase, a form of nicotine which occurs naturally. Juul's creators have created and patented their mixture of different salts and acids that are found in tobacco leaves. Their mixture allows higher levels of nicotine to be inhaled easily with less irritation than other e-cigarettes that use freebase. The Journal of American Medical Association says 82% of youth say they use e-cigarettes because they come in flavors they like. Reporting for WRFL Radio, I'm Ali Venata.
Tonight in the studio, we're going to hear from UK student and tobacco-free campus ambassador Haley Leach. As a student ambassador, Haley's main job is to approach violators of UK's tobacco-free policy, educate them, and continue to enforce the rules. Haley also works to inform students about the dangers of tobacco and nicotine-related products. Tonight, we also have UK kinesiology and health promotion professor Dr. Melanie Nolan. Aside from being a professor, she does research on tobacco prevention with a special focus on tobacco prevention with youth who live in areas that produce tobacco. Thank you both so much for being with us tonight. Haley, we'll start with you. Have you noticed a difference in the amount of students using e-cigarettes since Juuls have become popular, or do you think it's relatively the same amount of students but people have switched over to Juuls rather than older devices?
I would say since my time of being an ambassador, which is now 3 years, that we have most recently seen a spike in Juul users on campus. And I think the data also shows that they have become far more popular. And I think that they have because they are easy to put in your pocket, carry around campus. They're easy to conceal, and they look like a USB flash drive. So sometimes professors and others won't necessarily know that they're using an e-cigarette when they are.
Right. Dr. Nolan, these statistics that we've gone over so far, are they surprising to you at all, or do they align with the research you've done in your field?
They align with the research that I've done. It's gotten really popular, Juuls have, in the last few years. And I think one of the reasons is social influences. In addition to the reasons that she mentioned, I think it's a social influence that their friends are doing it. It looks cool. You know, so they're like, well, why not? And so it's gotten just so popular, probably through the use of social media and seeing their friends do it.
The Food and Drug Administration has recently taken an interest in e-cigarettes, and more importantly, the Juul company, as well as their marketing and social media plans. WRFL reporter Ali Venata reports on the actions the FDA has taken up to this point.
In early September of this year, the FDA declared youth vaping an epidemic. They are giving manufacturers of Juul and 4 other e-cigarette companies 60 days to give them detailed plans about how they plan to prevent youth. If the FDA does not think that the agencies are doing enough to combat youth vaping, they will start pulling their products off the market. On September 28th, the FDA did a surprise investigation at the Juul headquarters in San Francisco, California. They took thousands of documents relating to the company's sales and marketing practices. The investigation has been completed, but the results have not been announced yet. Since April of this year, the FDA has taken over 50,000 pages worth of documents from Juul Labs. Juul CEO Kevin Brooks says the company is committed to stopping the use of their products by minors. Juul's website clearly states marketing to youth populations has never been their intention. For WRFL Radio, I'm Ali Venata.
Dr. Nolan, like we just heard, the FDA investigation was huge into the Juul company. How much do you think this investigation into their marketing and social media platforms will help give the company and the FDA a better understanding of how they can prevent this epidemic from getting worse?
I think it will help. I think they'll understand more about the product and how they can market it. But the issue of that they can't control is getting it out on social media where somebody sees it and then they pass it along, and there's, you know there's no way to control what's out there in social media. So it's a little bit scary. What you hope is some accurate information gets out there, but I'm not sure that's really the case on social media.
Right, and the Juul company did say it was never their intent to market to minors. Do you think that's an accurate statement?
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I just can compare it to the cigarette companies who always said that about youth. But we do know that they did target youth. You don't probably remember this, but there was a Joe Cool and Joe Camel, and kids knew more about Joe Camel than they knew about Mickey Mouse. So, and they said, oh, we didn't mean to market to them, but they really did mean to market. So I don't know about the Juul company's intentions, but if they take after the cigarette companies, they're probably not really sorry that is, you know, that kids pick it up.
Right. Haley, the UK tobacco-free campus policy has recently been updated to include e-cigarette products, including the Juuls, obviously based on just the sheer amount of Juuls found on campus now. Since the update, the approach has been to target students with e-cigarettes or Juuls. Do you see that program like causing a decline at all in the usage?
I would say so. And we've had e-cigarettes in our policy for quite a while now, but we have most recently updated it for the language to also include Juuls. So on any of our promotional materials, we talk about it, we attend tabling events, we approach students, and we also have worked with security in the libraries to make sure that they see students Juuling, that they kick them out. And I think that those approaches have been successful. I think now what we're focusing on is just relaying the message out and making sure that students are aware of the policy so they know that they can't do it on campus.
According to tobaccofreekids.org, Juuling is popular among middle and high school students as well as college students. Although the University of Kentucky's tobacco-free campus policy does include bans on Juuls and e-cigarettes, they are still very apparent in students' lives. WRFL reporter Grace Coble reports on why college students are giving in to the trend.
According to data from Wells Fargo, Juul's unit sales increased more than 600% in 2017. A national youth tobacco survey found that over 2.1 million youths were e-cigarette users in 2017. However, a Truth Initiative study reported that number doesn't include the quarter of youth and young adult Juul users that call the practice Juuling rather than e-cigarette use. According to the FAMUN Online, Juuls are now a going-out accessory for college students. UK senior Abby Purdy says she fell into the habit because of those around her.
I started Juuling because all my roommates and close friends were. So basically, I just wanted to see what the hype was about.
That start for her was over a year ago. Purdy says she will, quote, absolutely not continue to Juul when she leaves college. She noted some downsides of Juuling, like the money she spends on it.
It's a stupid expensive habit, buying a pack of pods for $17, $16.
So why do they do it? UK students said they know Juuling isn't healthy. They also said they knew Juul pods contain nicotine, and most knew that a single pod is equivalent to a pack of cigarettes. For UK senior Caroline Robertson, it's about feeling normal around her friends.
It's more of like a social thing, like when you don't have a Juul, people just don't feel as cool.
Both of these students said they go through about one or two pods each weekend. For WRFL Radio, I'm Grace Colville.
Haley, we'll go back to you. Like we were talking about earlier with those tobacco-free policies, could you go over a little bit about what those look like for students and what the consequences could be?
Absolutely. So our policy is all-encompassing of tobacco products. So that includes cigarettes, smokeless tobacco, Juuls, e-cigarettes. If there's a vapor that comes out of it, it's pretty much included in our policy. And basically, our approach is to approach students who are violating the policy. We tell them that UK is a tobacco-free campus. We offer nicotine replacement therapies to them because we want students to know that UK does offer help for them if they are facing a problem. And then if we seem to encounter the same students over and over again, then we ask for their name or get identifying information, and we actually send that to the Student Code of Conduct office because they are breaking the Student Code of Conduct by violating our policy. And then there is restorative action plans that the Student Code of Conduct office does, and that can be anywhere from community service to maybe helping us at a tabling event or learning more about the policy.
Right. So how much of that falls on you as a student ambassador versus university law enforcement like UK police or just security guards?
Well, UK PD doesn't really get involved in our policy just because they have more pressing matters. But we are paid employees of the university. So there's about five of us that during various shifts throughout the day, we will approach what we call campus hotspots. And that's where we see a lot of students using tobacco products or Juuling. And then also we have had an increase in security officers, especially at Willie T, helping us enforce the policy because Juuling has become a problem there. And basically the issue is that there's only five of us, but we do have a very large campus. So it really requires help from other students. If you see someone Juuling, just tell them about the policy, faculty, staff, and then of course what we call our volunteer program that also helps enforce the policy.
Dr. Nolan, your research covers the effects of tobacco with young people. Do you think the social component, like we talked about earlier, just wanting to fit in, to be like your peers, is that a main cause or is it just one of the factors?
Yeah, I think that's the main cause. They just want to be like their friends. So if their friends are using it, they want to use it. There's an issue that we call perception of the norm. It's just a concept. And it's how they look at what they think is the normal behavior. So if they think by just looking at their small circle of friends that that's the normal behavior, that's what they want to do. In this case, we would label that as misperception of the norm because they don't look at their whole school. You know, actually, the percentage of kids that are using Juuls in high school or even in college is very low. But if they only have people around them that are using Juuls and they think, oh, everybody does it, so I need to do it. So what we would like to do is kind of flip that and talk to them about, really, most people don't use Juuls, and then talk to them about the social undesirability of it. So that's one of the approaches of prevention that we like to use.
Individuals must be 21 years old to purchase a Juul on the Juul website, but in most states, the smoking age is just 18. WRFL reporter Ali Venata talked to managers of local vape stores, Lexington Vapor.
Lextown Vapor mainly sells vapor juice, but every so often, if the price from their distributor is right, they carry Juul kits. The kit contains the device, a USB charging dock, and four Juul pods. When Lextown has kits, manager Logan Ashcraft says the phone rings constantly.
Yes, very often, at least, I'd say at least four times a day.
With the deals come the miners. According to BigCitiesHealth.org, three out of four miners who used Juul said they obtained the device from a physical retail location. Ashcraft says Lextown Vapor absolutely does not sell any type of product to miners.
Just to be safe, we typically ID everybody that we can.
With a slight laugh, Ashcraft says most of the people interested in buying Juuls aren't recovering smokers.
I've noticed that a lot of them are like freshly 18, typically. I mean, we do have quite a few adults that do ask about them as well, but it seems to be that the majority of them are fresh out of high school, you know, just 18, just 19.
He also said they are very careful when minors come in with adults in making sure the products being sold are not for the minor. For WRFL Radio, I'm Ali Venata.
Like we just heard, there's a lot of minors out there buying Juuls and Juul products. Do either of you think that age restrictions actually deter young people from attempting to buy cigarettes or e-cigarettes or vapors or Juuls or anything like that? Or is it really more of just a free-for-all?
Although I'm not around, personally, a lot of people that do Juul, I know that it is very addictive. And if someone wants a product, that they're going to find a way to get it. So I would just say, even with the age restrictions, that I do think that students will try anything, to try to get their friends to buy it for them or anything like that.
I think that that's true. I agree with what you said. I think that's true. But I do think the law does help reduce this, because it's harder to get. Mm-hmm. And so I think we should continue to have that law. I think that's important. And they will go around it, but they have to go to some trouble. So it will help reduce it, just like the policies do that you mm-hmm. enforce. The policies on campus make a huge difference.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I do think the laws are very important. And just like with our policy, it's important to have restrictions in place, or at least information out there so people know the dangers of it.
Right. Like we heard earlier, and according to the Juul Creators website, the product was intended for adult smokers to wean themselves off of cigarettes. But does it surprise either of you that people asking about Juul devices at stores like Lextown Vapor or even on campus are typically freshly graduated from high school or college students and not those adults trying to quit smoking?
It doesn't surprise me, just because it seems to be the new social norm. If students go to parties or are around their friends, it seems to be Juuls are around all the time. And I think just because of the social aspect of it, it's far more prevalent. And I don't know if adults know as much information about it as students do, especially on a university campus.
So one thing to think about is with the Juuls, that they marketed it to, supposedly, to adults to quit smoking. But there's research that shows that people who use the Juuls sometimes then start smoking cigarettes to get the nicotine. So maybe they don't have their Juul handy, or, you know, they can get a cigarette from somebody. So they actually cross over to get the nicotine. So I'm not sure that that's the best approach for stopping smoking. So I think we need to remember that. And nicotine is just so addicting. And they quoted the girl that said, well, I'm definitely not going to do it after I get out of college. She's going to be addicted if she's not already. So it's not going to be that easy for her to stop.
According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Agriculture Statistics Service, in 2017, Fayette County produced 2,455 pounds of tobacco per acre. Dr. Nolan, you've done a lot of research in tobacco. Does Lexington prevalent background in tobacco make residents more likely to pick up a habit like Juuling?
Yeah, I don't know about juuling. If they've already a cigarette smoker, or they are around cigarette smoking in their hometown, which a lot of them are, then doing juul is not going to be any big deal at all. So in that sense, the fact that they've been in a tobacco culture, I think, could encourage them to just go on and try juul as well.
Right. Do you see that tobacco culture on campus as well as you do throughout the state, or is that more of a rural area issue?
It's probably more of a rural issue, but we have to remember that we have a lot of students that come from rural areas. In fact, Fayette County has a big tobacco production. You wouldn't think that. Clark, Bourbon, you know, all the surrounding counties, a lot of them have big tobacco production, and so they just come with that culture from home.
While there are age restrictions on purchasing juuls at vapor stores, gas stations, and by Juul's official website, there are other ways kids can get around those restrictions, and they will. WRFL reporter Grace Koval discusses the prevalence of juuls use in kids.
So how are kids getting their hands on juuls? Websites like eBay and Craigslist make it easy to buy the product in bulk. They also are selling cheaper knockoffs of the same product without asking for proof of age. The FDA has banned the sale of these knockoffs and all e-cigarette products not approved by them since 2016, yet it's still happening. New e-cigarette brands have needed approval since that 2016 deadline, while older products can still be sold without approval until 2022. In response to knockoff and off-brand websites breaking the rules, earlier this month, the FDA threatened to ban juuls as well as four other new vaping devices completely. So far, there still haven't been any consequences. Kids are even noticing the easy access. According to BigCitiesHealth.org, about one-fifth of middle and high students have seen someone using a juul in their school building. There are two standout dangers here. First, the dangerous effects nicotine has on the underdeveloped brain. According to the U.S. Surgeon General, not only is nicotine highly addictive, it's also known to impair brain and lung development if used during adolescence. According to ScienceNewsForStudents.org, the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain responsible for emotions and controlling impulses, is extremely vulnerable to the effects of nicotine. The effects of nicotine are exacerbated in young people because that part of the brain doesn't finish developing until age 25. The second big danger is these kids don't always know what they're getting into when they start smoking a juul. According to BigCitiesHealth.org, the harsh reality is about 63% of juul users did not know the product even contained nicotine when they began using the device. For WRFL Radio, I'm Grace Colville.
So Haley, like we just heard, 63% of juul users didn't even know that the product contained nicotine. Is that a big issue you see around campus, just simply the need to educate people?
Absolutely. And that's part of the job that we do as ambassadors. Not only do we approach people on campus who are violating the policy, we also do multiple tabling events throughout the year. And at these tabling events, we try to interact with students and visitors to UK's campus by telling them about our policy and what's included in it, which now includes juuls, and by telling them the dangers of it. A lot of people don't know that juuls are included in the policy, and then they often ask why. And that's our opportunity to tell them the dangers, that they do contain harmful levels of nicotine. And then we offer them nicotine replacement therapy information that they can get through the university.
Right. Dr. Nolan, going back to those dangers of tobacco use from products ranging from cigarettes to juuls, do you see those having a more dangerous effect on young people compared to people over the age of 25?
Well, they do because of the developing brain. And one thing that she didn't mention in her segment is that it does increase the heart rate, it increases the blood pressure, it affects the blood vessels. And so over a long term, it could have a short-term effect, but it also could have a long-term effect. And unfortunately, college students, kids in high school and middle school, they're not really interested in the long-term effect because they think they're young and nothing's going to happen to me. So I think it's important to try to figure out a way to increase their levels of susceptibility. Like if I do this, it actually could hurt me. And that's a difficult thing to do.
Right. Well, 99% of all e-cigarettes sold in U.S. convenience stores, supermarkets, and other similar outlets contain nicotine. Haley, do you often find yourself having to talk to students who are uninformed? And like you said, when you do this, you always have to relate back to them the dangers of it. But do you feel that students really grasp that, or is it still more, well, this is what my friends are doing, this is what I need to do?
No, I do think that the social aspect is really weighing heavy on the student's mind. They'll think that they're not cool if they're not doing it. But part of our job is to tell them about the dangers of it. So sometimes when we approach students, they will act like they don't know about the policy, which we never know if that's because they actually don't know or if they want to try to avoid the consequences of violating the policy. But ultimately, regardless of if it is for social reasons or not, it's our job to approach and try to enforce and help educate the students. And that's why I love my job so much. I feel like I'm able to try to make a positive impact on campus each day, even if people sometimes aren't the nicest about it.
Can I chime in there?
Yes, of course.
And one of the issues that I think is people don't have the knowledge. And so, of course, I'm a health educator. So one of the things we try to do in our health class, KHP 230, Human Health and Wellness, is talk about issues like that. And we would like to see that kind of education get in the middle and high schools. Sometimes they're a little bit late, you know, reacting to trends in the high schools and the middle schools. So we really need to start back there to let them know, hey, it's nicotine and you're going to get addicted. And it costs a lot of money. Kids do care about the money.
Definitely.
And going back on that, my boss, Dr. Ickes, and a few of our ambassadors are actually going into communities in middle and high schools and telling students about the dangers of tobacco use and Juul usage. In fact, our tobacco-free ambassadors are working on flyers and a training packet for high school students in Hazard, Kentucky. So we're trying to positively impact that, but it is definitely a team effort that we want other people to get involved in.
Right. Dr. Nolan, as a professor here at UK, you have an interesting perspective, especially on just the student usage on campus. When you see a student Juuling on campus or in a class even, what's the first initial thought that goes into your head?
Well, they better not do it in my class. That I have that on my classroom rules, you know, obviously not smoking, but no dipping. I had a student that was dipping one time all the way through class, and later he told me. So since then, I really look for the little lump in their lip. And I haven't caught anybody doing Juul, but they better not do it in my class. So I got so wound up, I forgot the question. So can you repeat that for me?
Of course. I was just wondering from a professor's standpoint, when you see students Juuling on campus,
yes,
even if it's not in your class, but just simply out and about.
Right.
I know it's huge around the Whitehall area and any of the grass lawns. What's the thought that you first have when you see that?
Well, I find it irritating because I think it's stupid. And I just want to say, you're going to get addicted, and that's not good. So, you know, I had family members die from the effects of tobacco, so I'm kind of passionate about it.
Right, and I'm sure Haley, as a student ambassador, you are all about that response.
Yeah. All about that response. And in fact, as far as the professors go, part of our job has been communicating the importance of relaying the information about the policy to the professors. And we've actually been successful in telling professors to tell their students about the policy. And if they do see Juul users in class, that they will get reported to the Student Code of Conduct office. And I know it's working because one of my personal professors actually sent out one of the messages that we gave them to all of the students on campus. So we're doing our best to raise awareness of the issue and that Juuls are included in the policy. And of course, I'm always, you know, trying to enforce the policy on campus.
Right. And UK President Dr. Capiluto even sent out a message that you all had written. So I'm sure that was a big moment for you all.
It absolutely was. It's just nice to know that we have the support of the administration on campus, of professors, and of students, too, who are passionate about these issues, who have had family members that, you know, have been affected by smoking and cancer. So it's just wonderful to have support on campus.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us this evening. We hope the comments and research presented here from our experts have helped clarify the dangers posed by Juuls and other e-cigarettes in any individual's life, and especially in the lives of young people. We would like to thank our guests, both Haley Leach and Dr. Melody Noland. Join us next week as we discuss international students and the barriers and obstacles they overcome. I'm Maggie Davis. Good night.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.